Welcome to the Property Profits Podcast. My name is Travis Wells, and I will be your host every single week. It is my job to bring on a specialist in every part of real estate, whether that be retail, big commercial, luxury, flipping, land, you name it. I cannot wait to introduce you to these people because there are masters at their craft out there. At the end of each podcast, my mastermind group will come on and Q&A with these people and ask real-time, real-life questions so that we can all learn. I cannot wait to see you on my podcast.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Who are you? What do you do? All of that good stuff.
So my name is Mark Ruiz. I'm here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today we are turnkey income producing asset providers. Like we build new construction duplexes. We specialize in the affordable housing space. I'm a flipper by trade. I've been doing this. I caught an infomercial in 2005 with Robert Allen for No Money Down, and it seemed better than the Total Gym and the George Foreman grill. So I went for it. And I've been doing it ever since. So I've been doing this for a couple of decades, and I've always done the affordable housing. You know, I've done wholesaling, I've done flipping. I have a couple hundred rentals. We're in the mobile home parks. We have some apartments, some small multifamily stuff. And then we switched into the build to rent space, and our main focus is turnkey. We own the property management company. We own the plumbing company, the excavating company, of course, the building maintenance. Like we're in it.
You're vertically integrated, so they say, in and out, huh?
Yeah, and I also own 1-800 Tucson Homes is my acquisition company. So we still do wholesales and like all of it.
Hell yeah, that's awesome, dude. Well, to kind of rewind, like, how'd you get started? That's a lot that you do. So how'd you get started?
Started 22 years old, no money. Did some hustling, did a couple of wholesale deals back. You know, this was back before, you know, 2005, 2007. I was managed to get a couple flips in, do a couple owner finance rentals. 2008 wash, 2012, 11, 12. I joined the local RIA, and I find some guys doing what I want to do. We hook up. I run acquisitions for them for about 18 months. And then I started flipping. And then I built a construction company to support my flipping habit. And then we were paying too much taxes, so I started buying rentals. Yeah. And it evolved from there. It's like, you know, at one point, you know, from 2017 to about 2021, we bought and remodeled 500 houses in North Tulsa. I say, you know, these are the little 1,000-square-foot, 3-bed, 1-bath, 1-car garage. We do a lot of Section 8. You know, we spent 5 years doing BRRRR. Like, we built an empire, and that's how we were remodeling them faster than they could refinance them. And the bank's like, well, you know, might want to slow down. So we started selling turnkey. Yeah. And then, like, and we do full guts. Like, I'm a value-add guy. Like, dirty, nasty, abandoned, boarded up. Give me the nasty stuff. You know, we make our money doing crap no one else wants to do. So, you know, we build an empire in North Tulsa. We start selling turnkey. Like, we're doing gut remodels. Like, hell, the only thing we're not doing is putting up the walls. Now, you know, you come into COVID and, you know, you remember the inventory, you know, like all of a sudden there's nothing to buy. Well, I was lucky or stupid or both, you know, because when you're buying houses for $5,000 or $10,000 a piece, I mean, it's hard just to not buy them. And you know, I had dozens of houses, like, just sitting around. So, you know, I was able to work through inventory through COVID, but like, you can't buy houses anymore. Or you can buy lots. And, you know, we do everything but put the walls up. Why not put the walls up?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mobile home parks, you know, I'm a big believer in education masterminds. I'm always hooked up with somebody. You know, I did 10X with Cardone. I did 10X stages with Pete Vargas. I did Investor Fuel with Mike Hambright, and the cash flow group with Corey Peterson. And I looked at, took a hard look at multifamily because, you know, I spent 18 years in single family and mastered it and was good at it. And I guess I was bored and wanted to do something different. So I went to multifamily and I spent about 18 months and I joined that group. And I really, I went into it and figured out I don't fucking like it. I am not a detail guy. Like the level of due diligence, the underwriting is like all these, it just hurts my head. Like I can walk in a house and with, because I've been running construction, I've been running guys and I've done all these things. And I mean, we don't have time for the full revolution, but I've done all these things. I can walk in a house in a matter of 10 minutes. I can tell you what it's worth and what it's worth. I can tell you what I'm going to do to it, my scope of work. I can tell you how much it's worth to me. I can write you a check. Like I'm that guy. Like, so, you know, for me to have to spend days, hours, weeks, whatever, underwriting and doing all those things did not fit my personality. It's like, but what I took from that group is cash flow. I mean, even the North Tulsa rentals, I mean, cash flow. I mean, we're about cash flow. I mean, money. So mobile home parks are cash cows. I don't like the apartments. I'm kind of pulling out of that space. You know, the small multifamily, the two and the fours, great. Mobile home parks, cool. Apartment buildings, out.
What do you think the most important thing you did along that journey was, like, to progress? Because you kept progressing. So what do you think that was? What's a good key?
Well, I mean, number one, knowledge mixed with experience comes wisdom. So finding the people, there's multiple. Networking, number one, going to the RIA, getting to know everybody in the group in the space that's doing what we're doing, like surrounding yourself on people on that same mission. Number two, education. It's like this just blows my mind. You know, if you're gonna go be a lawyer, doctor, whatever it is, everyone goes to college to get an education, to do a job, right? Well, you watch a TV show, dude, I'm gonna go flip a house. Like, I'm going to go make money in real estate. This HGTV. Like, so education, like really figuring out what you're doing. And not that any of this is rocket science, because it is the simplest crap, the simplest stuff out there. Like you buy it for less, you fix it up, you sell it for more. I mean, it just really is that simple, but there's a lot of, so many subcategories and topics and all these little, you know, there's so much. It's very difficult, but it's very simple. So educating yourself. And I learned early on mentors, like 22 years old. I didn't have $5,000 to give Robert Allen. I put it on a credit card. You know, I fast forward 2014. I was real good at acquisitions. I knew how to find houses, but I didn't know how to do the rest of the deal. So I did Flipping San Diego, and you can actually see Danny's up here. It was a $50,000 package for 2 years. But, you know, you think about all of the learning curve, and it's at the time. What comes down to is time. The learning curve that it saved me. Like, I would have spent much more than $50,000 on mistakes. Like, actually, probably still did, but it would have been worse.
Yeah.
And then number three, massive action. Like, you're not getting anywhere till you get off your ass. Let's just learn, you know, get around the people, figure out what you're doing, do it. And then keep doing it. And just, it's hard to beat a guy that don't quit.
Yeah.
Or stay playing.
No, I completely agree. I love it. I think so many people are scared to make mistakes. And I mean, mistakes are going to happen, you know.
I ran the local real estate, the RIA, for many years. I owned it. I was president. And when we used to host our luncheons, and I would like to break the ice. Like, I make more mistakes than anyone in the room, but I make more money than anyone in the room.
Yeah.
Like, if my superpower is doing dumb shit, my ability, or I have no fear of making mistakes. Like, my willingness to make mistakes, it's like riding a bicycle. As long as you're pedaling, you're good. And I can tell you dozens of stories about tuition. I like tuition better than losing money, because I mean, you lose a lot of money real fast. I invest six figures plus in active education because I had multiple six figures of hard knock education.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge, man. And so mobile home parks, you know, what about those? Like, how does somebody go about evaluating one if they want one?
Oh, those are fun. Those are so, it's such a unique, it's a different animal. Like, it's not like houses. It's not like multifamily. You have multiple structures, multiple roofs. Now, it's a hybrid. So to value it, I mean, we're really, it's income based. Like, the land isn't worth, and the land's what the land's worth. The trailers, most of them, and you know, the parks that I buy, the parks that you buy, the trailers aren't worth nothing. Like, they're just there. Like, the land would be worth more if they were gone. So you can't value, it's hard to value the land and the assets based off that. So we look at it from an income standpoint. You know, we use a cap rate, you know, whatever, you know, however you factor that. It's like, yeah, you know, it makes this amount of money. And, you know, now, of course, my mind, and this is why one of the reasons why I failed miserably in multifamily, because my brain understands cash on cash. I don't know IRR. I don't understand depreciation, appreciation. I mean, I know what they are. I'm not stupid, but my brain computes cash to cash. How much does it cost me? How much do we make? And those are the only two numbers that I care about at the end of the day. You know, and I know that I can go buy a park at a price point that is less than multifamily, more than single family, and cash flow it because of proportionally what the rents are higher. That makes sense. Okay. So, you know, how to go about finding them and evaluating them. I mean, and most of the parks are owner operated, the ones that we like anyway. And the big ones, I mean, you got to have some pockets, you got to have some backing, you got to be serious, and you're not playing. So to go out and get the mom and pop, the owner operator, they don't really have records. I mean, maybe they wrote something down on a, I literally have napkins from, from a guy. Yeah. Like, is it your rent roll? Okay. Yeah. But I also look at potential. Like, one of my other gifts and talents that I've developed being in real estate for so long is the ability to the visionary. Like, I can see what's coming before it's there. Like, I can walk in a house and I can tell you what I can see what it's going to look like. I can walk in a park and I can tell you what I'm going to do. Now, granted, it took me two parks and about 3 years to figure that crap out. So, and there's a tremendous learning curve, and it depends on your objective. I mean, if you just want to buy it and cash flow it and just run what it is, I mean, just exactly that, pencil your numbers and buy it. You want to start doing some massive improvements and start changing some changes. I mean, and we're tearing down, I know, Mogi, we're tearing down 8 trailers as we speak and building, well, we've tore down the trailers. Now we're building pads, and we have 8 trailers being delivered next week. Brand new trailers, right off the line.
That's cool.
We're going for value add. Like, we're going in there, we're raising the rents, we're cleaning the place up. We remodeled a bunch of trailers. I do not recommend it. Like, if it's not like a cosmetic facelift where you just like putting lipstick on it, don't do it. It's not worth it. Yeah. You can only polish a turd so much.
They don't appreciate very much.
You're not getting that money back. I mean, we remodeled a couple dozen trailers, and it dawned on me. We're putting $35,000 to remodel these trailers. But that's, you know, studs, wire, electrical, plumbing, heat and air, drywall or panels and flooring, the whole deal, like putting it back together. I ain't never going to see that again. And then I still have a 50-year-old shitbox.
Yep. So as far as proportions on numbers, if somebody wants to evaluate a deal, just simple, you know, like, and some people have the 2%, 3%, whatever. Is there like a certain, just something somebody should stick to if they're looking at these? And you're talking about maybe C-class. You're talking about C-class parks.
C-class is on the nicer end.
Yeah. So, you know, what kind of proportions are you looking for? Would you recommend, with your experience, the good and the bad, would you recommend to keep people out of trouble?
I don't know the answer to that question.
That's fair.
I would be glad to have get some input and have a discussion, but I don't. I mean, I know what it is for houses, and you know, just kind of on a proportionate scale. And I'm trying to think in my head, but it the two that we've done and the experience that I've had is, you know, we bought them cheap. They're cap, you know, they're capping at about 15%, and then we go and we do the turn and we drop them down to like 4%.
Yep.
And then we get, once, you know, once we get stabilized, we're back up that 16-18%.
Yep.
But it's a hard nosedive, especially when you're in a B plus low C, and you know, you go in and you clean up these parks. I mean, not that there's a lot of nice people. There's a lot of good people that live in trailer parks. There are a lot of people that are not. And when you go in and you start cleaning things up, it requires encouraging some folks to go on their way.
Yeah. And I got some input. You know, I think that, in my opinion, you know, people like to use 2% rule for houses, whatever the rent's coming in on trailer parks that we're talking about, the C minus, you know, I like to get the actual NOI and 2% of that, the NOI, not the actual revenue. My starting point, and most people won't sell them for that, you know, but that's a pretty steep deal a lot of time that leave you like cushion, I think, you know, but you're right. It's hard to answer that question.
Well, and I think about Almogi, you know, I bought it for $250 and it had about a $10,000 or $11,000 rent roll.
Yep.
But the owner paid you all utilities.
Yeah. The NOI though, you know, whatever. Yeah,
the NOI. Well, it was a little over two. It was probably two and a quarter.
Yeah.
And in Hera, we bought for $550 and it was doing about 14. Yeah. I mean, I guess they both fall between the two and two and a half.
Yep. And I learned that from a senior citizen mentor, luckily, early on. Cause like I was buying houses, right? And he's like, no, you don't treat these like that. Go off the NOI. And I was like, okay, cool. I almost screwed up, you know?
Oh, I bit the dust hard on my first one. I mean, I'm still licking my wounds from that. We still have it. I mean, it's taken me a couple years to figure out, because I went in guns blazing, like we cleaned everything up. I got rid of everybody. We're tearing, we're demoing everything. And at this point, I'm still, my ego is like, we can fix anything. Like we own a construction company. We can fix anything. It's true, but is it worth fixing? And when I asked that question, I ain't fixed a trailer since.
Yep. That's awesome. So let's switch gears real quick. We got a few minutes left before Q&A to new construction. So you've said that you've pivoted a lot towards new construction. Why is that?
So number one, I don't like competition. I'm not coming in to compete. I'm not coming in to dominate. I come in to own it. Like we have our own ecosystem. We have our own environment. Like nothing anyone else does affects our world. So, you know, when we were able to have an endless supply of houses, we flipped houses. We did rent houses. We did burr. Like that was cool. Our pivot originally was lack of inventory. And then I've specialized in affordable housing for at least 15 years. Like that's my gig. Especially, you know, we do a lot of Section 8. We do Native American. We do veteran vouchers. We do affordable housing, entry-level workforce housing. That's the space that I like. I figured out a long time ago, you know, you fish the bottom of the barrel. It really doesn't matter how far the barrel falls. You're already at the bottom. And no matter what happens, people need a place to live. So we specialize in that affordable housing space. Also, you know, looking at the community aspect. So we start buying lots. So it starts with no one's buying lots. Like I went and bought 50 lots for $2,400 a piece. Like just right off the bat. Like we went and bought 100 lots for, you know, $250,000, like And I like infill lots. I learned the hard way. There is a difference between building infill and developing. The horizontal and the vertical are different games. So infill lots with access utilities. You give me plumbing, you give me water and sewer. We can throw a house up 93, 120 days, depending on weather and workload. So it just, we started building, and then we did a lot of institutional buyers. You know, before interest rates went up, before the material costs went up, REI Nation was my biggest buyer. REI Nation, Strata, Roofstock, we're just supplying investors. I mean, we started doing that along with the turnkey. Because, you know, we know our numbers in and out so well. And I just, you know, going and working the seminar circuit and going to these places, you always had Memphis Invest, now they're REI Nation, in the back of the room peddling houses. And I'm looking at the numbers and the rates that are getting on these. I'm like, shit, we can do this. So we did. This new construction is just so much cleaner, so much more predictable. Like we once you have the model, and then, you know, when the rent rates went up, the institutional buyers stopped buying on a dime. Like all my buyers got priced out overnight. So we sell the houses owner occupant, which is okay. It's not great. I don't want to do it. There's too much emotion involved, and it extends the holding costs. It's like, you know, I like, give me CO, get out the door. So, you know, we got an assembly line. So we're able to build that assembly line with the new construction. So, you know, if you follow the model works, or you follow the formula works kind of deal. So we figure out the duplexes, we have more demand, we have better margins. So we start building duplexes. Like, okay, so we're never building a house again. You know, we're still having trouble at this point on selling them on a 20-year commercial note, like at 9%, you can't cash flow. I'm like, I can't cash flow these things. It does not make sense to me. But if you look at the smaller investor that can get a 30-year DCR or consumer debt, you get a 30-year, like 7.5%, these things start looking really attractive. And you start looking at those high-income individuals, those high-net worth people, California, Colorado, Washington, Utah is primarily where our buyers are. So we start catering to those people. Like we're selling these income producing assets. Income producing assets don't go out of style. Like we're using Apex, built the machine. So we have everything is sold and we have a waiting list.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And for people who don't know, I've got three questions real quick and then we'll go to Q&A. I know, I think I said that twice already, but, you know, for people that don't know, what's an infill lot?
Infill lot is an empty lot in an existing neighborhood, typically a house that was torn down at some point.
Okay. And then vertical and horizontal construction on those lots.
Horizontal construction is the infill structure, the water main, the sewer main, stormwater, and road. Vertical is building the house.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate that, because people that don't know don't know. So
I understand.
Okay. Yeah. Nicole, what you got?
Hey, sorry, I'm driving. But my question is, you said that you were still feeling some of the effects from, you know, the first mobile home park that didn't go so well for you. What kind of effects do you feel afterwards? And like, how does that play into what you're buying now?
So the first mobile home park, we were overzealous. We cleaned up the park. We got rid of a bunch of people. We were spending money like it was never going to end. And then we put ourselves in a negative cash flow situation, got stuck in a rut where we ran out of money. Like, you can't afford to sell it, but you can't afford to keep it. It took multiple attempts, multiple different plans that we tried a few different ways to resurrect it, and it didn't quite work. And it was, fortunately for us, we bought two parks, and the sister park in Okmulgee, we had much better funding, and we changed our approach based on the shortcomings of the first park. So the second park is so much better condition than the first park. We still own the first park, but it is behind the curve. So It's been losing money. Now I've been supporting it, unfortunately, out of pocket. But now that we're getting the construction loan, we're underwriting. Once I get the construction loan, we're going to replace all the old tear out all the old trailers, replace everything, and we're going to put it back into the green or back into black where it's produced, where it's cash flowing. Right now, it's financial suck. And that's me being nice. I have other words, but.
I know they suck, but I love these stories because, I mean, they're real. They happen. If you're an action taker and you're doing big things, they're going to happen, right? So I think people are so scared of that, they don't take action, you know? So I'm glad that you bring those stories up.
Well, I've studied Tony Robbins most of my life, and he says a true definition of an entrepreneur is somebody who makes enough money to pay for their mistakes.
I love that.
You don't have to make your money where you lost it. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much for jumping on here. Where can people find you?
So we're all over Facebook, Rugged Real Estate Investor. We're on YouTube. I think that it's also Rugged Real Estate Investor. That's the best place to follow us. YouTube, Facebook. Then we're on Instagram. I should have probably been prepared and give you links, but
you're good.
Rugged Real Estate. It's actually pretty simple.
And you have a Facebook group they could join?
Facebook group to join. YouTube, check us out. We're producing content. We're putting out videos on a bi-weekly basis. And we're launching a ton of stuff. We're actually launching the Rugged Real Estate Mastermind as we speak. That's going live tomorrow. It was supposed to go live yesterday, but we glitched. So,
oh, yeah.
But Rugged Real Estate, you can follow along. We're documenting the turn of the trailer park. Like you go check out. We're tearing down trailers on the YouTube channel. Like we're taking it step by step. Like we're documenting everything we're doing. Like we're going. Not live, but we are doing live. We are starting to do live stuff. So I mean, we're documenting our lives. Like everything that we do on a regular basis, it's going out. It's going out.
Badass. Well, I encourage y'all to check that out. It's nothing like seeing the real deal in real time and, you know, not flashy pictures, but real footage of this stuff happening. So that's awesome, man. Thank you so much and have a good evening.
You too, man. I appreciate it.
See you, bud.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please refer a friend. It would mean the world to me. And also, if you'd like to learn more about real estate investing, go to www.exclusivehousinginvestors.com. If you're interested in joining the mastermind group, email me at travis@exclusivehousingtexas.com.